I hope you have some ambition, not a selfish ambition, but an ambition that's in alignment with the will of God in our lives. That's okay. That's, in fact, what God would want. Are we ambitious even as a church? Are we ambitious as a group toward the goals and desires that God has? His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so I hope that appeals to you, that you'd want to thrive in your life and even thrive in a greater way in 2016. And so this last week, we had my grandson at our house for a couple days. His name is Asher. You might have seen him up here before if you've seen our little grandson. And you know what? I'm grandpa, and you know what? I enjoy my grandson. He's a perfect little age. He's about 18, 20 months old, and he's just so exciting. He just gets thrilled about any little weird, awkward, crazy thing that grandpa does, right? And I enjoy him so much. And you know what? I think he enjoys me. I think he enjoys what grandpa does as I go up and tickle him or I slide him around. He just has a ball with that. And I was thinking about it. You know, I enjoy my kids. I enjoy my kids being around. When Nikki comes home or when Nathan comes home, you know, Kayla, as we talk to her through Skype when she's in, over there in England, I enjoy them. I'm excited about connecting with them. I suppose it's the same for you, right? You enjoy, there's certain people that you just thrill to be around. And you ever think about how much God might enjoy you? Think about that for a minute. God enjoys you. He enjoys who you are. Now, he might not like everything that we do if we do something wrong or we're going in a bad direction. I don't like that in my kids. If they're going in a bad direction, if they make a bad choice, it hurts even more because I love them so much. And so God's the same way like that, I think. He's made us in his image. There's certain characteristics and qualities and traits that we have that connect just like he connects with us. But let me just turn that around a little bit. Just like I enjoy my grandson and my kids, and you know, I know my grandson enjoys me. I hope my kids mostly enjoy me too, you know, right, Johnny? You know, like, enjoy me. He just did this, okay? Okay, we got it. He's a late teen, you know, 17 years old, so sometimes you have to kind of be careful how you ask those questions. Do you enjoy God? Pause and think about it for a minute, because this hit me this last week. I've been doing, you know, the daily Bible reading. I'm trying to connect with our reading plan every day, but then I also do two other things. I do a book like this called Devotions for Men. I don't know why it's Devotions for Men. It could be for anybody. It's great. Stuart Briscoe, one day a week. It's awesome stuff. And then I've started something in addition to that. It's called First15andthenumbers.org. It's really good. And one of the pieces this last week on one day, I think it was the 14th, and you can go on there and you can actually click on the 14th, it talked about this idea of enjoyment of God. And it kind of struck me. Because often we can get into this duty-bound business with God. God, I want to please you, and you know, so I want to do all these things for you. And we're kind of driven. Maybe it's more me. I'm kind of driven that way anyway. Type A, kind of get things done, go after it. But I don't want my relationship with God to be based on performance stuff. I want it to be based on this kind of true enjoyment. And it's been said that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I think that comes out of a catechism of Westminster Short Catechism, I think. Get that? Glorify God and enjoy him. I had to ask myself, am I living with God in that way? Am I enjoying him day by day? Are you? Process that some, if you would. It stuck with me for some reason. It's just like, boom. Have I looked at it that way enough, my relationship with God? Friends, that's what really we've been talking about for 2 weeks. We've been talking about getting with God through his word. That's where he speaks to us. That's where he's sharing himself. We're with him with coffee in the morning or late afternoon or late evening, whatever your deal is when you can find that special time with God. And you're getting to know him, and he's just revealing himself. This is what he's like. He hurts, God hurts. He grieves, and God's happy, and he enjoys you. And there's all these wonderful things we learn about God as we're into his word. That's how he communicates with us. He reveals himself very specially, okay? That's really important to do, is to have this personal kind of relationship with God. Last week we talked about prayer. Now this group prayer is very important, and we're going to be doing that as the branch church. We're going to be connecting with, but personal prayer with God has got to be foundational to how you would know God and how he would know you. And as we express ourselves to somebody else, we actually kind of get to know ourselves a little better. And you know, we get clarity in life through the lips and through the fingertips. And so if you're a journaler, if you're somebody who diaries, or you discover about yourself, there's some things about you that you have identity down. And or if you're able to speak to somebody about stuff in life, you know, ladies are a lot better at that than guys. We tend to not want to share and stuff, you know. But there's a relationship, there's a connection that is established there. If you are going to thrive in life the way God has designed you to thrive, it'll be because you have connected with God personally, and you desire to give him glory and enjoy him forever. So just that's the last 2 weeks. This morning we're coming around to the third in the series called Gather, the three to thrive. Read, obviously the Bible, and engage it. That means reflect on it and respond to it as it would, you know, as you would need to. And secondly, pray. And thirdly, gather. Look at what the Bible says over here in Acts chapter 2. This will be on the screen. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. That's the gathering of Christians. This was right after the church was born. By the way, we're going to go into a series starting next week where it's called The Movement. God started this incredible movement 2,000 years ago called the church, or the kingdom, reestablished or restored with the king that has come to the earth, Jesus Christ. That's the movement that the branch is part of, that you are part of. Still a movement, but we're going to go back and look at that. What did they first do? We're going to look at what happened in that movement. We're going to pick up some stuff for us that's going to help us as a branch to bear fruit to God's glory. So they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. That was the early disciples, the church, as it started to meet, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and all those who had believed were together. And I think I've even emphasized those words. Underline them there, and had all things in common. Those are my emphases. They're not in the Bible that way. Look at what it says in the next slide. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together. Notice that word again. Together. With gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number, look at that, day by day, those who were being saved. There was a fruitful, it was a very fruitful church. God was working with that church and adding more people, reaching more people, seeing more people saved because of what God wants to do through the church. God wants the church to thrive. He wants the church to bear fruit, right? Much fruit. He wants the church to do that. And so we get this little snapshot of the beginning of the movement, okay? And we'll deal with this passage more when we get into this series that we'll have up to about Easter on this, the church, which God loves because he loves every single person in it as well as the people out of it. But he's got this church that has this mission, and with this wonderful community that's designed to do that together, gathered. So we go to our homes and then we gather, then we go back to our homes and we do life in the work week, and then we gather. There are these gathering moments of the church. Notice there, house to house, and even in the temple. So there was large group gatherings like this. We're not real large yet, but we're you know. And then there are smaller group gatherings. Inside your packet, you should have found another slip of paper. Everything's black and white right now. We'll get to color down the road a little bit, but these are about groups. These are little gatherings, okay, that we can have together. We had Life Tree Cafe, which is a little gathering midweek before the year ended, 2014. And we started out this year, and we're forecasting some possibilities, some opportunities for us to gather. Gather and learn and grow, but just gather sometimes to gather. We want to always try to, you know, learn and get to know each other and to help each other and to nurture each other. And what all those wonderful things we can do as we gather. So the smaller groups we're forecasting right now, and some of you have already seen this because maybe you've been online and have checked things or given us some ideas of what you're interested in. So right now, we're looking at proposing this. They may all not materialize, but we'd love to know if you're interested. This would be an interest list on which one or ones of these. You could put down a couple of them, but don't put down too many that you're interested in. That you might be interested in being part of. These will start in a couple of weeks, whichever ones would have the most to be able to start, okay? And we could start with three people or four people in a particular group that would gather, okay? So everybody got that? If you wouldn't mind, if you could, let us know. Turn them in even today. Make a note and turn them in before you go when we collect the connection cards at the end. Great opportunities. I want to, like we did the last 2 weeks, look at some of the benefits, reasons why you would want to gather. Why is that so important? You know, there are a lot of people, you might know some in your life, that have been part of church in the past, but they don't go to church anymore. Why? I think in part, they may not understand the value of what it means to gather with people of faith, right? The value of gathering with people, reasons why it's a good thing to make a habit or practice in our lives. And so I'm just going to go through quick seven of them. Why seven? Dave, you did seven in the first week, seven the second week. Now you're doing seven again. Are there only seven benefits? No. There's a lot more, but these are seven, and seven's a good number, isn't it? Somebody say yes. They say it's the perfect number or whatever, I don't know, but there are seven. It just shows you that there's more than a couple, and there's even a lot more than seven. But let's look at the first one. Gathering honors God. Look what it says in the Bible in Ephesians 2, 19 through 20. Now, if you want to take these home with you, you can just write seven words down and some notes there if that's of help to you. That's why I put it in there. Gathering honors God. Coming together as followers of Jesus Christ brings honor to God. And so look what it says in Ephesians 2, 19 through 20. Look what the Bible says here. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens. Note that with the saints. And are of God's household. So it's really talking about people who were not Jews, but Gentiles who also became followers of Jesus Christ, just like the Jews became followers of Jesus Christ. So notice the imagery of nation. Now you're a fellow citizen. So there's this gathering image or group image we have, and are of God's household. And that's a family kind of image, a household, isn't it? Look at verse 20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple of the Lord. We have three images in this long sentence of Paul the church planter, don't we? We have this nation image, which is a gathered image or an image of a large group. We have the image of family, which is often small group. Right? And we have this image of a building, even. And that's who we're compared to. That's who we're to kind of think, okay, I'm part of something. And these things, by the way, especially, you know, really all of them, but really the family one and the building or temple one have to do with bringing honor to God. Back in about 1980, and I couldn't remember exactly, my grandmother, who's long passed, was having her 80th birthday. And her children, my dad along with his two brothers and sister, the four of them, put on a special birthday celebration for my grandmother's 80th birthday. You've been to a few of those, I'm sure. It's some kind of birthday celebration. And it's meant to honor Grandma Vina in this case. And I remember, because I was out of high school and I was kind of out of my own life, racing around, doing my own thing, didn't always go to all the family events. And I remember distinctly that my mom and dad said, "Now listen, this is something that you can't skip. This is something you need to be present at." And it was, if we messed this one up, I could tell something was coming down around my life that wasn't going to be pretty. Everybody had to be there. Not just the kids, not just the grandkids, but the great-grandkids even. Everybody had to be there. Everybody was, and some had to fly in all over the places to bring honor to Grandma. Never forgot that. Kind of is one of those images that I think of when I think about gathering honors God. By the way, you've honored God by being present at the branch this morning. Do you know that? That's, I think, one of the highest reasons we might have to gather. This is what God wants. He wants us to get around the table, you know, the communion table. He wants us to gather and connect with people. He wants us to gather and connect with Him. This is a really, really good thing. And so God, you know, He created us. And He created us for community. One of the first institution was a family. It's a little community. It's a little gathered group, right, isn't it? And He created us to be able to flourish inside of groups, right? Inside of family. That's how we're to mature and grow and handle life. And in the church, to be able to handle life and honor God, connect with Him for this next life as well as for this one here. So it's a biblical requirement from my perspective as I understand the Bible. It's God's will that we gather, and He is honored by it. So, friends, we need, you know, gathering is needed to thrive because gathering honors God, and because, number two, gathering encourages us. Gathering actually is an encouragement to us. I would hope every time somebody's come together in small group, large group, with just friends gathered over a meal, whatever it is, and you're of faith, that you go away encouraged by other people that have that faith, and you're an encouragement to them. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 24. "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." Look what it says there in verse 25. "Not forsaking our own assembling together," our gathering, "as is the habit of some." So when you get out of the habit of gathering, you have the habit of not gathering, right? Have you ever been there before? I have. It's really difficult to break habits one way or the other. So if you establish habits, you know, when I left my home under my parents, who took me to Sunday church every single Sunday, including vacations, when the water was perfect on Sunday mornings on the lake for water skiing, and I'd look down from the cabin window and go, "Perfect for water ski. Dad, Mom, look at the lake." You know, because everybody partied all around the lake the night before and they slept in and the water was great. And they said, "Oh, no, we're going into Belfair, Washington, this was, to go to church." Well, you go to church, hit the 10 o'clock church, come back at about 12, and guess what? Everybody woke up from around the lake and they were out on the lake and it was... When I left home, I continued to go to church. Why? It was a habit. It was a very, very important habit. And I'm so thankful to my parents for raising us with that habit of attending church. We're to encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. we encourage one another by gathering. Patrick Morley, in his book, A Man's Guide to Spiritual Discipline, says this. This will be on the screen. Look at his quote here. The bottom line from Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 is that Christian fellowship is designed to spur us on. God's plan is that we will exhort one another, encourage one another. Are you a little encouraged right now to gather, making it a habit? I'm spurring you on. So we're kind of spurring each other on, right? And being here spurs others on because they look around and say, who's here and who's not here? As you get to know the branch, you'll be doing more and more of that, of course. We all do. So we need to gather to thrive because gathering encourages us, and also because, number three, gathering strengthens us. Look what the Bible says back in the Old Testament, a book called Ecclesiastes that King Solomon wrote. We believe, it says, two are better than one. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there's not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. And here's another image. Look at that. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. I think we all understand that we can be stronger together in our lives. We can be stronger in our faith. We've got a strength that comes from several being around us. Remember the guy who was a paralytic? You may not have remembered this, but there was, he had four friends, and they took him to Jesus. And Jesus forgave him his sins and then also ended up healing him from his lameness. He couldn't get there alone. We need friends. Just out of curiosity, do you have four friends that can get you to Jesus? If you're in trouble spiritually, if you're in trouble with God, do you have four friends in your life that would get you to Jesus Christ? Your friends in Christ will strengthen you. Friends, get involved in these little groups. Try them out. You know, if you don't like it, after you try it out, say, hey, I got to take a pass on this. Okay, it's okay. You know, there's nothing forced here. And some of you won't be able to come involved in the groups. I understand that. But let me just say, they're an opportunity to gather and gain some friends in the branch that have your spiritual interest in mind. So they can be of great strength to us. So gathering is important to thrive because it strengthens us. And because, number four, gathering helps protect us. The Bible says in Acts 20, 28, be on guard. This is the Paul, the church planner, who's sharing this with some leaders of the church. There were elder leaders. And he said, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or managers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, to pastor that church, which he purchased with his own blood. The church is very important to Jesus Christ. And so much so that he puts what we might call under-shepherds or pastors that can help lead and, can I say it this way, protect us. The image here is flock, isn't it? The gathering is flock. And if one sheep separates from the flock, they become much more vulnerable to the wolves, right, or to the predators. Same thing in the body of Christ. And so gathering helps protect us. By the way, it's a great reason for membership, one of the most important reasons for membership, so that those who are leading, that have responsibility to care for the church flock, know who is in and who's just kind of hanging out in the margins. I think it's important that we try to shepherd everyone, including the lost sheep. So we're trying to shepherd that out in those out in the community, even reaching out to them because God loves them as much as he loves those who are in the church, cares about them. So we're trying to do that. Gathering helps protect us. It's a great reason and important to thrive. And also, number five, gathering helps us love one another. Think about that. Gathering helps us love one another. Hard to love somebody we don't know very well. So the more we know somebody, the more we can figure out how to love them best and be most effective with it. So think of what it says here. Jesus commanded that we love one another. And he's really talking to those that are in the gathered group or the church or the kingdom. He said it this way: by this all men will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So there's a testimony, we say, element to this, or it shows whether or not we have a love for one another. It's very important that we gather to get to know each other so that we can love each other, so that other people can see that and perhaps are very attracted to that and can see the way God is. God is a God of love. It's commanded not just that we love Him, bring glory to Him, enjoy Him, but that we also love one another, prefer one another. Can I say it this way too? Enjoy one another. I think that's part of it, isn't it? It's just to really enjoy each other. Just listen for a moment as I scroll through some one another verses in the Bible. The Bible says, be in harmony with one another. Submit to one another. Don't judge one another. Accept one another. Comfort one another. Don't lie to one another. Greet one another. Serve one another. Don't hate one another. Pray for one another. Wait for one another. Don't slander one another. Speak the truth in love to one another. Forgive one another. Bear with one another. Don't grumble against one another. Encourage and build up one another. Reconcile with one another. Live in peace with one another. Be patient with one another. Be kind to one another. Confess your sins to one another. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another. Be humble toward one another. Instruct one another. Offer hospitality to one another. Teach one another. Admonish one another. Friends, those are best done in the context of gathering. So you will thrive as we gather, because gathering helps us love one another. And gathering, number six, gathering helps us serve one another. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, but now there are many members but one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. The image here is the body image. Jesus is the head, and the church is the body. And the body is one unit, but it's made up of many members. You can buy dismemberment insurance. If you lose your arm, there's an insurance that will help you through your life without the arm. And in the body, we are gathered. We all need each other. So it's a need because we have to serve one another. And it's a God's design. When you pray a prayer of help, sometimes the way God answers that is He sends somebody to help you. Somebody likely in the church in many cases to help you. He's helping, you know, the eyes helping the hand or the head up in the feet, those kinds of things. What a wonderful thing it is. And we know that as you've stepped up to serve in the body branch on Sunday morning, you know, like Peggy and I think Kim last week or somebody helped with bringing refreshments in. A simple task, but very important to helping us function well as a body. And so, again, gathering helps us serve one another. It'll help us to thrive. And lastly, gathering helps us to experience communion together. Communion together. Notice that word communion. The last part of the word, do you see the word union? Union. Gathering is a unity expression. It's a unity practice. We don't gather with people that we don't want to get around or that we don't want to engage with. We don't want to be unified with. Some of us don't like to go to some family gatherings because we don't like some of our family relatives, you know, like union with them. Oh, no, no, no. So God wants us to come together. Look what it says there, a couple of verses on communion. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together, look what it says, to break bread. Now that's meal terminology for a spiritual meal that is a branch we participate in on a weekly basis, communion. For as many of you that do take communion on a weekly basis, we have it available, and we'll do that momentarily. We'll celebrate communion, or what's called also the Lord's Supper or the Lord's Table. It's a fellowship practice. When I used to be in business, and I know Greg probably does this, so you know, I would go to clients or customers and say, let me take you to lunch. Let's break bread together. And it would be this connection point to build union with that person. We do that every week with Jesus and with each other. And the first day of the week, we were gathered together to break bread. Paul began talking to them. Look at the next verse. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, he's scolding them a little bit in this verse. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, then one is hungry and another is drunk. What he's saying is, your purpose to come together is to make sure you take communion in the right manner, in the right way. Instead, they were coming together and having a greater feast meal, which they did, and they kind of forgot about or diminished the whole idea of this special communion that they would have, remembering Jesus Christ. So a primary reason that Christians have gathered throughout the last 20 centuries in the movement of the gospel throughout all the world was that they came together in a gathering time to have communion, or to break the bread that is symbolic of Jesus' broken body. No bone was broken, but his flesh was pierced, and the juice was representative of his blood. That's his life blood that was shed, which meant that he died. The suffering came to a death conclusion, which was what was mandated for the sin of humanity. And that's what we remember. It celebrates, as we do this together, our common communion, common salvation. That's what unites us. We do it in a gathered way. That seems to be the way the scripture has indicated that it be done. And we're going to do that right now. Okay? So we end this series with this idea of gather and how important it is for our lives to thrive. We've gathered here as a branch another Sunday. Till the Lord comes, because as we take communion, we're proclaiming that he died for us. And he is also coming back for us. Isn't that great? We are the hope of the world. The church is the hope of the world. So let's pray, and then we'll take communion together as they share this song with us. Oh God, we are so grateful to you for the way you have designed us, that we need you. We need this special relationship we can enjoy. That's the way you've designed it. May we move toward that more and more. May we develop our connection to you to such a great level of, well, honor, but also friendship and care in that relationship. As you care for us, we care for you. The things that you're about as our Creator God, as our Savior, as our, the one who's so intimate with us, who's come to live inside us. And as we gather together, you've meant for that we would need each other, that we would serve each other, that we would love each other, that we'd be this witness to the community around us, that we would bring honor to you. Thank you for the element here in our Sunday services of communion as we remember what you've done to bring this to pass in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.